Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to once again go to the book of Luke and see the tremendous truths which you teach us in your word. We thank you, Father, that the words thus spoken thousands of years ago are so relevant to us right now. They speak to us loud and clear. And I pray, Father, that we would listen, that we'd be attentive. I pray that you'll remove from us distractions. I pray, Father, you'll help us to really be able to hear what Jesus would communicate to us today through this very touching account. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the last thing that a weary worker for the Lord needs is discouragement. And that can come in several ways. It can be more guilt that's heaped upon a person who's already just putting out so much. It can be a piling on by criticizing a servant of the Lord who's just been so involved in, I'll just discourage even further, or dissing them some way. You know, a weary worker for the Lord doesn't need discouragement, do they? And maybe you've been there. Have you been there? You've really been working hard. You've been putting out for the Lord, and you just find yourself just discouraged. I think if you've been a servant of the Lord for a period of time, you've been there. You know what that's about. And that's why it's so important for us who are with those servants of the Lord who we can tell are so just burden that we would be sensitive to their situation. Luke records a very touching account that Mike read for us just a few moments ago. And this touching account involves really focused on three people, the Lord Jesus himself, and then these two dear women, Martha and Mary. Mary, we see, is a disciple of Jesus sitting at his feet, wanting to learn from him. You know, sometimes we can take it for granted in the day in which we live because, you know, we know that men or women alike, yes, that so many ways for us to sit at the feet of Jesus, if you will, and hear his words. But we have to understand that even in this day, there were many people who didn't understand that the Lord Jesus wanted to minister to the women. He wanted them to be his disciples as well. And consider this. Muslim women today don't know in their scriptures what you know in the scriptures as a Christian woman, and that they don't have accounts of Muhammad calling women to be disciples of his. But our Lord Jesus, certainly in this passage, shows so clearly that he wants women as well to be disciples of his. For that reason, it's such a powerful story about Jesus is teaching, this woman, Mary, is taking in what he is teaching. But there's another really precious part of it as well, and that is Martha herself. She is a faithful servant of the Lord. You know, as I was thinking about Martha, I thought about there are so many dear ladies in our church too that both want to take in the word, but also are faithful servants of the Lord as well. And certainly both types of these women and are we see evident in our church family. Other scriptures teach us about this special family. We know from the scriptures in Matthew 21:17 that when Jesus would go to Jerusalem, when he was at Jerusalem, he would leave Jerusalem and at evening and he would lodge in Bethany. He would go out of Jerusalem to this town of Bethany. We know that Bethany from John 11:1 is the very place where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived. We know also from the scriptures in John 11, that's the account where Lazarus was raised from the dead. If you remember that account, a very powerful story involving this family. And we know in John chapter 12, Jesus came to Bethany about 6 weeks before the Passover, or 6 days, I'm sorry, before the Passover. And he had supper with this family. And interestingly, in that account in John 12, Martha, when you know it, she was serving. Lazarus was seated at the table with Jesus. And Mary, of course, was at the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet, preparing him for burial. So we again see another account in Scripture of this dear family, and we can see characteristics of their life that we even see come out in this account. So just sort of reaffirming to see that these things are characteristic of these people that we're reading about in the passage before us today. But one verse I would just like to sort of really make sure that we have very clear in our minds before we really look at the particular passage that we're considering this morning is what we see in John chapter 11. In verse 5, where it says this about this family. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, of course, speaking of Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus loved this family. And the scriptures say explicitly that he did. He just loved this family. And we can see it evidenced in scripture. So let's take a look at this account in light of these other scriptures that sort of inform us or teach us about this special family in the scriptures and see what we can learn from it as well. Well, first of all, let's just set the scene a little bit here. If we look at verses 38 and 39, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Remember in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we saw that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's headed there to ultimately die for us. But he's on his way. We see that, and he's determined to go. But let's look at verses 38 and 39 again. It says, now, as they were traveling along, again, they're traveling towards Jerusalem, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. So as we set the scene here, they're traveling along, and they enter this village. We know from John 11, it's Bethany that's being referred to, because this is where they live. And we're told that Martha welcomed him into her house, into her home there. Now, it's significant because even at this time, we know that not everybody that Jesus was around loved him. Not everyone would welcome him into their home even. But this Martha did. She welcomed him. She wanted him to come to her place. Again, just reinforcing what we know in other places about Scripture about how special this relationship is between Jesus and this dear family. But she wants to welcome him into her house. Some have suggested that maybe Martha had been a widow, and so now this is her house she has left. We don't know from Scripture, but it makes it clear this is her house, and she's welcoming Jesus into it. So here, she's inviting him into her home. While Martha is being welcoming here, we see in verse 39 that her sister Mary is seated at the Lord's feet. Now, this is really language for saying that she wanted to attentively listen to what he had to say. She was all ears, if you will. She wanted to hear exactly what Jesus was saying as he was sitting there in their home, in Martha's home, teaching. She's seated and she's there. She's listening to his word. So there's the scene. We see that. It doesn't take us long, though, after just kind of seeing this initial picture of what it's like, that we see that a loved servant of the Lord expresses frustration. A loved servant of the Lord expresses frustration. We see this in verse 40, where it says, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But we're told in the first part of verse 1, contrary to what Mary is doing, as she's listening to Jesus, we're told that Martha was distracted. The meaning of that word means that she was cumbered, if you will. She was troubled. She was harassed. If you will, you know what I mean by a ball and chain? You've probably seen cartoons or whatever, or stories of someone who had a chain around their ankle and then a big heavy ball, so they just kind of were having to pull that thing along. It's kind of, this is the picture of Martha and her service. She's just sort of, just it's a weight. She's just carrying this around. And that's where she is. It says that she was distracted with all her preparations. It's interesting that the original for preparations there is the same word that we get deacon from. It is a servant. It's providing relief. It's ministering. So Martha, she's just dragging around all this weight of all this serving everyone, and she's just cumbered by that. And that's the picture that we see. And she comes up to Jesus. It's the same phrase that's actually used in Luke 4:39 when Jesus came over Peter's mother-in-law, and he would eventually heal her. I don't think Martha was hanging back in the corner here. The picture is that she had come up. She made her presence known, and she's there as Jesus is teaching. And she comes up and she says, Lord, do you not care? Are you not concerned about what's going on here? She goes, my sister has left me to do the serving alone. I'm doing this solo, all by myself. I want to ask you something, moms and servants of the Lord. Can you relate to this? You ever been in places where you were just really just putting it all out and you're saying, Lord, don't you care? Why can't people help me with this? Well, that's where Martha is. Dear woman, remember John 11, 5. Jesus loves Martha, but that's where she is. And then she goes on to say, then tell her to help me. In other words, let her take the opposite. What I'm doing, let's serve together here. She first questioned Jesus' concern, and then she says, don't you care, Lord? If you do, tell her to help me out. That's what she's doing with the Lord Jesus. Well, we see the very precious way that Jesus responds to her in verses 41 through 42, where he responds to his frustrated servant. We see, as we look at verses 41 and 42, it says this, "But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." But here we have, contrary to Martha's request, which was, "Lord, if you care, tell her to help me out." Contrary to that, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." It's emphatic. He wants to say, "Martha, listen to me." And I think he has her attention. He says this, "You are worried." Speaking of her mind, she's anxious. So many things are going through her mind. Her mind is just anxious. "And you're bothered." That word there means disturbed or troubled. Perhaps even emotional components of that coming out. She's just really frustrated of mind and just emotionally. She's just really bothered by what's going on here. He says, "You are worried. You are worried and you're bothered." And then he goes on to say about so many things, abundant, plenteous things. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, in response to this passage said this. I thought that was just good. He said, "You know, it's not about work. Jesus isn't against work here, okay? And he's not against working hard, because we really can't work too hard for the Lord. But the problem here is that Martha's work and hard work is also combined with this being anxious and just troubled. And that was the problem. That was the problem." But Jesus addresses that in verse 42 when he says, but contrary to that response of being worried and bothered, only one thing is necessary. There's only one piece of business you need to really be concerned about. There's only one thing that's a demand. There's only one employment that you need to ultimately be concerned with. You know, there are times that we need to just take a step back and refocus. And as I was thinking about this passage in the life of Martha, I think the thing that can also be true in, say, the life of the church. What do I mean by that? Well, I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. A portion of scripture that kind of came to mind is just thinking about this week. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. It's page 96 of the Bibles that we provided in the racks, if you want to use those. Just to set the stage there, Acts chapter 6, verse 4, 6-4. The early church is growing, and they're coming up with a crisis here because there's a need that surfaces. The early church is feeding the widows, and there was a complaint that came in verse 1, we're told, on the part of the Hellenistic Jews, those Greek who were converted. They were coming against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked. So the 12 apostles summoned the congregation of the disciples, were told, and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from you 7 men of good reputation." Of course, establishing the deacons there and then coming along and doing serving the work. But it goes on in verse 4 to say this, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." See, even the apostles were faced with this thing in the early church. They had so much ministry going on. And oh yeah, and then they were taking care of widows. And this big need came. And they said, but we can't neglect this ministry of the word and a prayer. And so these 7 deacons were called to help take care of the burden of the load so that the apostles could focus on what God had called them to do. I think sometimes in church work, we need to remember too about what our focus is. We need to go back. We just need to remember what it is that is our priority. And here, personally, Jesus is saying to Martha, listen, one thing really is necessary for you. You need time to draw back a little bit and refocus. And he goes on to say what that one thing is. He says, for Mary has chosen or selected the good part, or participating in that which is good. And what he's talking about is her learning attentively from Jesus, her being at his feet, her wanting to find out from him, what about life? What should I know? What should I say? What should I do? And he goes on to say, which shall not be taken from her. Now listen, the Bible doesn't tell us what exactly Martha was doing. We could guess. We could guess maybe she's fixing a meal. Martha's are great about fixing meals, right? And I'm glad for Martha's, aren't you? Getting those things done. But even think about the food. Even if they eat that food, at some point, they're going to burn it off, right? It will no longer be a part of them. Even the food that you prepare is going to one day perish or not be there. The homes that we work on so hard, one day will not be there. The businesses that we seek to build, one day will not be there. Even nations we know are temporary when we look at the eternal overall picture of things. Listen, even our loved ones, our families, our kids, our mates even, they're temporary. We have them for a season. But the one thing that remains with us for all of eternity is our relationship with the Lord. And Jesus is saying that is the one thing that is needful, is really being in tune with our Lord, really spending the time listening to His Word and having that be the priority of what our life is. Well, we want to turn our attention now from this tremendous account, precious account, of Jesus interacting with this family that He loves very much. And we want to talk for a few moments, really sort of apply this to us. What I'd like to do first off is take a look at some warning flags for us this morning. Some things that in our lives can be warning to us that, hey, we might be going down the Martha road here, right? What would those things be? Well, first of all, I'd just like to suggest our personality can lend itself to what happened to Martha here. I think of type A folks, people who can work circles around the rest, people who like to get things done, and oh yeah, practical people. You've got these things you've got to do. You've got all these details that need to be taken care of. And let me just say, that can lend itself, okay? I'm not saying those things are sinful, but those things can lend themselves to happening what happened with Martha here. So just realize personality can be something we just need to be aware of. We may have a personality that may be more tended, we have more of a tendency to do that than others. Here's the second warning flag. The second warning flag is your work is a burden to you. It's like that ball and chain I talked about earlier. I've got to do all this stuff and, oh, it's just like a weight, you know, and it just becomes burdensome and cumbersome to us. That can be a real warning flag to us if our work and our ministry becomes that, like we're dragging it all around. You know, in contrast to that attitude, I want you to consider with me a portion of Scripture that really talks about the attitudes I think that should be true of us in our ministry. If you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Be page 150 of the Bibles that we have there in the racks there in front of you. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Now think about this. In contrast to what's going on with Martha in her life, think about what's true of a person who has God's Spirit filling us and the fruit of having a Spirit-filled life. Ask yourself this question honestly. When I serve, am I serving with this view, with these attitudes? Does this describe my service for the Lord? Because it should if we're being filled with God's Spirit. So let's see what it says to us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. It's faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wow, that's quite a mindset. That's quite an attitude to have as we minister, isn't it? And yet, if we're living Spirit-filled lives, if we're serving the Lord as His Spirit is enabling us, these are the things that should spill out on others as we are spending time with them. And is that the case? So if we're serving and that's not what's true of our ministry, it's a flag for us to say, hey, we need to step back and refocus here a little bit. Here's the third warning flag. And that is, I think, extensive service. Because we see in verse 40 that Jesus says of Martha, there is much service that you do. Or in verse 41, you're doing so many things. The thing that's really brought out in this account is that Martha has all this stuff going on. And Jesus identified, you've just got all this stuff going on. And I think it's a warning flag. It's not that we can't have multiple things going on, but just realize the more stuff we have going on, right, the more susceptible we can find ourselves in that Martha situation. She is troubled about so many things. The fourth thing that I think is a warning flag for us is when we begin questioning God's concern. We begin questioning God's concern. Look at, again, what Martha says in verse 40. Martha says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Don't you have any concern about this?" And when our prayers start becoming complaining, like, "Lord, why did you put me in this situation? I don't understand. And don't you care about where I am?" Again, it's just a warning flag. We may be in a place where we need to take a step back and be sitting at his feet to see what he would say with us, say to us in that situation. So we need to understand that that's a warning flag to us if we find ourselves complaining in spirit to the Lord about, "Don't you care?" The fifth thing that I think we see could be a real warning flag is we begin complaining about others' lack of involvement. We begin complaining of the lack of others' involvement. Again, looking at verse 40 again, as Martha is talking to Jesus, she says, Tell her to help me. Lord, bring me more workers, bring more people. If I care about something, then other people should care about it, and just as much. And sometimes that's not always the way it is it? And so we just need to understand that when we start demanding more help and we're why aren't they helping me out? Again, just a warning flag. You might want to be careful. Are we involved too greatly? Have we really taken on more than what the Lord has even called us to do? The last warning flag I think we need to note, as I mentioned earlier, extensive service, meaning we're involved in so many things. But the last thing is intensive service. Intensive service. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're anxious. Your mind is just, you can't let it go. You're just so wrapped up in it. And emotionally, you're troubled. You're just in turmoil and you're disturbed. When you have that kind of intense service, again, I think it's another warning flag. We may need to be stepping back to see what it is that the Lord is expecting of us, not that we put upon ourselves. So those are just some warning flags. Maybe you can recognize some of those in your own life. They can just be warning us that we might be getting close to Martha's situation where we're finding ourselves so discouraged and ministry weary. Well, we're not going to leave it at the warning flags because I think the Lord has shown us what the remedy to this is. It's very clear in the text, but we need to just remind ourselves. What are the remedies then? Some remedies for dealing with this situation if we find ourselves ministry weary. Here's the first thing. We need to attentively listen to the Lord's words. Attentively listen to the Lord's words. We see in verse 39 again, going back there, that Mary is there and she's seated at the Lord's feet. She's listening to him. She's the example that Jesus points out to Martha when he says in verse 42, "But Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken from her." This is the one thing that's necessary. So that's the first thing. The first and most important thing is being at Jesus' feet, is allowing God's word to be taken into our lives so that we can really think about what we're thinking and what we're feeling and the things that we're doing in life. We can filter all those things through the Lord's words to us. That's primary. When we see this is really Jesus' antidote for what Martha is going through. The second thing, though, as we're in the word and as we're hearing the Lord's words to us, is we need to ask this question. Whose expectations am I seeking to satisfy? Whose expectations am I seeking to satisfy? You see, as we read things in God's words, we may well come across something that is His desire for us to do. But it could be others' expectations put upon us, or it could be even our own expectations. Sometimes we can be slaves to our own expectations. Maybe some of our own expectations that aren't even the Lord's that He has for us. We just had developed them, and we look at them afterwards, we say, "What is this all about?" We can become so encumbered by so many expectations that how can we keep all this stuff? I would remind you of Jesus' attitude of service. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, this is a very encouraging portion of Scripture to me. I have to be reminded of this myself in my own service and in my own life, to sort of be reminded of Jesus' words. Jesus, if we look at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, just back up a little bit. Jesus is talking about God's truth being hidden from the wise and intelligent and has been given to those who are infants, if you will, speaking of the truth of the gospel. And we see in verse 28 that Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Jesus is speaking about those who are under the burden of sin, those who need life, he would give life to, he would give rest to. But we see when we look at the next two verses, it really sort of tells us what discipleship with him looks like, what service with him looks like, because he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Younger animals could be trained by older animals how to work, how to pull a load as they were yoked with them. Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Watch how Jesus does ministry. Watch how he works. Watch how he ministers. We need to be tuned into that. And he says a very tremendous thing in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, you think it's an incredible statement, because when we read the Gospels and the life of Jesus, he is one busy man, right? He's busy with the crowds from morning to night. And yet he says in verse 30 again, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's saying, if you learn from me and how I did it, do it. It's not meant to be. And you may work very hard in the kingdom of God, but it's not meant to be a burden like dragging that big heavy ball around. It shouldn't be how it is. And when we look at Jesus' life again, we see that he spent much time alone with the Father, communing with him. So we need to take that to heart too. Whose expectations are we seeking to satisfy? The third thing is, once we've evaluated the different involvements that we have in our life, is it possible that we need to let some things go? I mean, maybe some of the things we're doing aren't according to God's expectations of us, but there are things that others have placed on us or that we've taken on ourselves, which may or may not be according to God's purposes for us, his will for us. We may need to let some things go so that we can be more attentive to the things of God, to those things which are eternal in nature, those things that will last forever. The fourth remedy is, maybe it's important to say no to a current opportunity. You know, there are so many things that we have the chance to be involved with, right? Come get involved with us. Come do this. They're calling constantly. And sometimes we need to say no to those things so that we can be more in tune with, again, what's going to be eternal, what's going to last forever. And we need to say no sometimes to those many things, requests that come our way. Again, being tuned into God and his words to us help us sort through those many requests that come our way. The fifth thing is, I think it's important for us to understand what Jesus is not saying, okay? I know after a message like this, it's always easy for us to come away with these little lessons. Let me just emphasize some things that this is not saying, okay? Jesus is not saying that work is a bad thing, okay? Be very clear about that. He's not even saying that hard work is a bad thing. That's not what Jesus is saying in this passage. And he's also not endorsing one type of personality over another. He's not saying he loves Martha any less than he loves Mary in this passage. He's just pointing out to his dear woman that she just has this tendency that she needs to be very careful about. But it doesn't mean he loves her any less. So he's not endorsing one personality type over another. He's also not raising up laziness as a virtue, okay? He's not doing that in this passage at all. And he's not saying in this passage that we shouldn't help one another. Okay, it could well be that Mary had spent much time with Martha before the Lord came. We don't know, but he's certainly not saying that we shouldn't help one another. And another thing Jesus is not saying there is, he's not saying here that housework is not important, okay? Just all in the perspective, it's all in the priority of our relationship with Christ. He's not saying, just veg out, right? He has a purpose for us. He's called us to do His purpose and His plan. But we need to really be hearing from Him. And what He's not saying here, is, listen, all you need to do is just listen to my words and forget ministry and the rest of the work. It's not important. He's not saying that. Because we know there are places in Scripture that the work of the ministry is very important. So we just need to be very clear about what He's not saying as well. Here's the last remedy I'd just like to put out there, a question for us to think about, and it's this. Am I investing in eternity? Am I investing in eternity? And I think the primary answer to that question is, are we sitting at Jesus' feet to hear His words? Are we listening to Scriptures? Are we seeing how they apply to us, the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do, getting our direction from Him? Are we investing in eternity, really? When we look at our life, the way we're spending our time, are we investing in eternity? Well, as we wrap things up this morning, a burdened servant of the Lord, one who's really ministry weary, needs to refocus. Okay, it's time to step back from all the business, refocus and spend time in the Lord's words to let Him speak to us. Another thought that's sort of analogous, sort of similar to it, but a slightly different way of thinking of it is this, that worshipful discipleship must undergird the ministry for the Lord. Listen, as we're spending time in the Lord's words and we're worshiping Him, we're valuing Him, and we're allowing His word to speak to us, that is what undergirds, that's what gives strength, that's what helps us do the ministry that we've been called to do. And if that's absent, then we're going to be frayed. We're going to be weary of our ministry as we see Martha in this account. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You this morning for the opportunity You've given to us to look at this tremendous passage of Scripture that shows us of Your love for this dear family. Lord, we know You loved Martha. The Scriptures tell us that very clearly. We know that she was a dear woman in Your eyes, and yet she found herself just so burdened by what she was doing. And the truth of the matter, Lord, is we can find ourselves that way too. We have those moments, we can have those days, we can have those periods of our life where we feel that way. And I pray, Lord, You'll help us just to be able to step back and spend time in Your Word to really have the proper perspective that we need to have on eternal things, as opposed to being so focused on those things which are just simply temporary. Father, please give Your dear servants rest and encouragement through Your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, hope to see you back next week. You're dismissed.